Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Put your hand over your mouth when you call. Better help us to lose.
Assalamu alaikum. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, benefactor, the most merciful redeemer, we give praise and thanks to God, the cherisher, the sustainer of all systems of knowledge. My name is Rashid Talam, and I am your host and engineer for tonight's show, Science and Health and Wealth Learning Lab. Our program is designed to show, or put a focus on, shall I say, on natural form and functionality of the human body to ensure and make sure that we can achieve optimal health. I just want to take the time out and to thank you for showing up tonight and participating with us on our weekly program that's held here every single Tuesday from 6 to 8, our learning lab. I like to refer to it as our school because the information that you gain here on our show on Tuesdays are basically information that you'll never, ever hear anyplace else. And in particularly in our hospital care and what we call our doctors who won't share this kind of information with you, we're just trying to make sure that you get a good understanding on you. That's why it's referred to the science of your health and you. And our second hour will be on financial empowerment, which is still about you. More importantly, you know, we know that the therapeutics that are essential and necessary to get to that state of mind for us to understand the importance of why we should be thinking, what we should be thinking about, how we should be thinking, more importantly, how we should be planning our lives, because we're here for a short period of time. This life is fleeting. We come into the world unknowing. We go out of the world, preferably knowing something that made our being here worth being here, that we can leave a legacy of some sort or some type, that we can contribute something to the gross national product of this country, contribute something to our community, to our ethnic race, or to whatever the situation we may find ourselves because of the blessing that has been bestowed upon us on life experiences that were given to us by our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I want to get started today. We have a special show. In the second portion, we're going to talk about some pertinent things that I've been experiencing personally myself, and that is death. And we all want to experience this, and none of us are getting out of here alive. So there's certain things that we should know about, we should be concerned about, especially when it comes to ourselves, our families, our community, our religious and ethnic backgrounds that we share in the world that we live in. So we're going to devote this first part to what we always devoted to, and that's you. To focus solely on the well-being of our living selves, and sometimes we have to really reiterate this thing, this subject matter called selves. We always refer to know thyself, and we know we live in a country where the language is a hindrance to all of us. Take the F off self, and what do you have? Know thyself. It's important that we understand the well-being of the living cell, not just a cell, the living cell. What emphasis should we be placing on cell nourishment, blood sanitation, regular cell maintenance? And first of all, we need to also know what are the cells. Well, basically, it's how you got here from egg cell and the sperm cell. And our body is made up of 200 cell types. I have to reiterate that because sometimes we forget this magnificent, magnificent body that we have been blessed with. It consists of 200 cell types. And these different cell types produce the 11 systems, the mind, reflexes, mechanisms, crypts, plexuses, membranes, sinuses, that make up our total body function. 75 to 100 trillion cells make up the human body. And we walk around with it every single day of the week, 24 hours a day, and most of us don't understand what it is that we're walking around with. Most of us don't understand the diseases or diseases that we are experiencing in our lives every day, where to start to begin to be healthy. What does it feel like to be healthy is a question I pose to you tonight. What does it feel like to be healthy? You know, think about that. When we think in terms of allopathic medicine, homeopathic medicine, osteopathic, naturopathic, acupuncture, colon cleanse, herbalisms, and all the things that we talk about, even all the way down to mosquito bites, down to vaccinations. What does it do to our bodies? How do we remove the filth, the concretion, the toxic gases, the sugars, and the alkaloids and the acids that are in our cells that we have no idea on how to cleanse? So this homeostasis of information that we try to provide you is worthy of you picking up the telephone and calling your family member. If we care about our families, if we care about children, if we care about our grandchildren, how in the world do we supposed to extend to them a legacy of information on how we can remain in this toxic world that we currently live in? And how this well-being of the living cells and blood have an effect on our ability to restore health, our ability to achieve health, and focus on the removal of those things that go into our bodies on a daily basis, whether it be air, water, food, or whatever it may be, what is it doing to our body? And what is the most important things that our body goes through? So last week we had a wonderful explanation on the individual who has done 40-plus years of research, maybe more, for I know Abdul Shaheen gave a very clear education on Maxwell Norte. And the reason I'm bringing this up, because this is the mission, this is the focus of how we exist, how we maintain the healthy lifestyle. We have someone in our community that we can safely say has done the research, and his whole focus is on making sure we stay healthy, discussing information that really affects our being, affects our ability to function. And then here's the key thing. We're in the month of celebrating Women's Month, and we know Women's Month is every single day, but we will take what this Gregorian calendar has given us to talk about our women. So we want to concentrate on women's health kind of a little bit tonight as we begin to focus on some of the other issues pertaining to that. But why women? Well, that's the essence of who we are, what we are. That those are the ones who are responsible for us being here, being loved and educated and go into a state of maturity. It's always the women. So if women don't know how to take care of their families, how in the world do we intend to have family life extended? So we want to focus in a little bit on that today and talk about some of the issues and concerns on breast cancer. We hear about that all the time. You know, that's coming up next. They focus on women, and they talk about breast cancer, and they got cancer walks and all this type of thing. But we've given the definition. We've given the actual definition on what causes cancer. We gave the actual definition on healthy breasts. We've talked about those particular things here. We've provided information that we have been paying attention. We have a very thorough understanding on how to take care of ourselves. Take care of ourselves. Don't have that calcification that enters a woman's breast. You know, and the concept of breast milk. You know, if we can only teach our young children as mothers on the importance of breast milk instead of the importance of trying to get back to work and do the things that they need to do, to, you know, to instead of turning your child over to another system, and give your children those things that are detrimental to their health and well-being, if we only understood the concepts of the beauty of breast milk. When our ladies have a baby, a child, they don't have to go to Snooks. They don't have to go to Kroger's. They don't have to go to all these stores to get anything. God has already blessed you with it. The groceries are already with you. Those needs that you have, but the key to this factor is this. What did you do? What did you take? What did you eat? Were you a drinker? Were you a smoker? Were you eating bad foods that caused your breast milk to be turn into something that it shouldn't be, where it's not as healthy as it should be? We've talked about those particular things on how to avoid certain foods that cause our breast milk to be tampered with. So we're going to focus in on a little bit on women's health, talk about the importance of the upside and the downside of nutrition, And as we approach this upcoming month, we are going through the Lent right up to the Easter with other ethnic groups here in this country. And we know we're getting ready to experience a very special time period for us called the Ramadan. What are we supposed to eat? Have we ever, prior to Ramadan, sit down and talked about the proper foods and the proper nutrition during this time period that we say we're fasting? This cleansing that takes place, physical, mental, and spiritual that takes place. Have we ever thought about the food that we consume? And we go all day, you know, fasting, then try to eat some fried chicken or try to eat some, you know, some, let me quit saying it, some Popeye's chicken or foods and sugars that affect our ability, affect our functionality as human beings. I learned recently, a couple of years ago, that even the dates that we take, that we consume, saying this is what the prophet did, peace be upon him. But you know what? I'm reading articles about dates coming from Israel with all types of fungus on them. And what I learned 2 years ago when I broke my fast with a date, my heart was racing, getting too much sugar into my body after going through a whole day of not functionally eating any food. But these dates were just, I mean, this made me feel really bad. And I hate to say that. I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do or how to do it. But we want to talk a little bit about approach Ramadan. That's just one thing on how to break your fast. But what should we be eating when we do break our fast? What types of consumption of food is essential? We do break our fast so we can maintain optimal health during this fast, so we can think right, feel right, and we eat some food and why don't want to go to sleep as soon as we eat. That's consumption of the wrong items. Most of us want to go to sleep as soon as we eat. Are we eating too much? A lot of people gain weight during this special time period. If we know something's wrong with that picture. So it has to be the consumption, the oils, the waters, and the sugars and the salts that we're consuming that affect our ability not to be in optimal health. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and we're going to go into next Tuesday, which inshallah will be Ramadan, and talk about the things that we should be eating, the types of food that we should be eating to make sure and ensure that we have a wonderful, healthy Ramadan experience. So with that, we want to let those of you know who are on the internet who are listening, if you have a question, if we raise some particular subject matter that you want to talk about, if something we said resonated with you, we have a phone line that you can call into and text in your question. And that number is 650-669-0458. 650-669-0458. So while I'm talking, I'm getting ready to bring on our guest speaker for tonight, three-way us. Your daughter, your son, three-way a grandchild, three-way a friend, those particular people who are going through or experiencing situations in their life like high blood pressure, diabetes, unhealthy life, it's not feeling well, no energy, you know, mental issues. I'm tired all the time. Why am I so tired? You know, those particular things. You know somebody in your life. All of us know someone in our lives, someone who's had a stroke or someone who may have experienced cancer and had chemotherapy or radiation treatment. There's something we can do in the study of the living cell called cytometry to help those individuals have a better, more productive life. It's possible. The high blood pressures, the diabetes, the strokes and the seizures that we take, not knowing that worms have a lot to do with that type of thing. And all of us have worms in our system. How to get it out of our system is another story. We do that here on IWDM Radio every single Tuesday. We provide you with those mechanisms to cleanse yourself. Those mechanisms help you exist and correct some of the damage that's being done that we've done unknowingly. Nobody ever taught us how to do this. There's no manual for our women and our men as we come into this world. We have to learn. It means you have to study. You have to research. And now we have a school that you can go to get these basic necessities. You are not too old to solve some of the problems that you go through. You are not too old to learn. not too old to learn. So we want you to be cognizant of that fact and also understand the importance of what we bring to the table here, where we can help our family members, we can help our neighbors, we can help our children have a fruitful and healthy existence while we're here. This is important. This is all we have. We have nothing else with this life that we live. It's 24 hours a day of existing on this planet, 7 days a week. Has your being here made a difference? Has your being here made a difference? Not only just yourself, but in your family life, in your community life. What is the purpose that you have? If we don't ascertain the proper mental state that we need to acquire and establish in our lives, we're going to have some serious issues. And here's the beautiful part about it, or the ugly part about it. If we don't know, we don't know, we have a really serious issue. And I can say this, we don't know, and we don't know. I can say this humbly, respectfully, that most of us don't even understand that we're not well. Most of us do not understand if we're not well. If we can come to this conclusion and accept this fact, nobody ever told us about health. We keep listening to the USDA. We keep listening to CDC. We keep listening to these same individuals who created the environment whereby we're in the state that we're in currently. Are somebody telling us that this is how it's supposed to be done? And we do no research whatsoever. We just accept it. We cut your cornflakes and frosted flakes and honey buns and, you know, chicken with the wrong oil and your fish that has all types of poison in it, iodines and all these types of things. We don't investigate anything. Why? Because we have this taste situation that we think is supposed to be this way. It started back in the early days, during the time of slavery. And I'm not blaming anybody for anything. I just know these monsters who created this environment gave us horrifying food. And that food was given to us so we cannot think. You need nutrients to think. Your brain needs brain essentials. Your body needs all types of essentials. It was not in the food that we experienced in slavery. And we have to say, alhamdulillah, thanks for Allah, that we are still here, having the opportunity to hear what we're saying today, having the opportunity to share this information with somebody else, and knowing you've given them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth will help you God. There's a difference in truth now. Let's get this right. So with that, I want to open the mics up. If you have a question based on some of the things that I just said, we're talking about women's health. We're talking about obesity. We're talking about heart condition. We're talking about breasts. We're talking about all those things that make up the anatomy of our women as well as our men. But we want to focus in on that a little bit before we go into the empowerment process. How do we become healthy? As I said earlier, stay on the line, pick up the telephone. How to avoid a messy death is our second hour being put on by Graceland Community Inc. I mean, you're going to find out some information that you never thought about before. Who you have on your bank account? Do you know anything about what we refer to as pay on demand if you have a bank account? Wills Trust. Importance of those types of things, and also having all your affairs in order and understanding those things that we have to do. So we'll be getting into that on the second hour, and we'll try to respect your time as much as we possibly can. But ladies and gentlemen, let me bring to you our host and special guest every single Tuesday here, and we just want him to give an opportunity to share who he is and what he is. And we want to thank him for last week, for those of you on, to share with us the historian who made all this knowledge that we're talking about possible, who made this new concept of how to eat to live possible, sharing with us those 200 cell types, sharing with us those 75 to 100 trillion cells that make up our human body, someone who's done that research, and that's Dr. Maxwell Norty. We want to thank you for that. Abdul Shaheed, how are you today, my good brother? Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Rashid. You're doing an excellent job.
Hi,
I'm going to have to ask you to continue to do your monologue and what you're doing. I kind of have an emergency here. that we're going to have to take care of. So I apologize.
No,
I tried to text you,
we can do
but
that.
Evidently you didn't get it.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I didn't get it. So evidently you said it to me live, so I got it. So I can extend. I'm not gonna try to get deep. I'm just going to try to do what I can. So let me know when you're ready, my good brother.
Okay. Well, you might have to carry on with the show, okay?
Oh,
for tonight.
No problem. No problem. Okay, thank you so much,
and
we look forward
later.
To talking to you. All right, very good. I'll make sure I pass on the information to the radio audience to how to reach you and how to get more information. Thank you so much, bro.
Thank you so very much.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the program is yours. You are the guest. You are the guest. So if I said anything that resonates with you, if I said anything that you want to ask a question about pertaining to some issues with your family, some issues with you, you know, I woke up this morning, I think I must have laid the wrong way. My back was hurting. I'm trying to go, oh, wait a minute, my back hurting for, you know, or I had a slight headache because of some of the pressures that I've been under the last days and all these family members are losing, passing in my family. So I figured it's the stress and the strain, what I've been going through. I finally had the time to sit back and relax and say, okay, deal with this, brother. You know, stress, strain, grief, sorrow has a lot to do with your body function. Worry has a lot to do with our body function. You know, back in the old days when our old grandmothers and aunties said, boy, you're going to worry yourself to death. You know, we didn't take it seriously. It's not something to take lightly. How did they know that? I always look at history, and I always look at those who came before us and the sacrifices that they made to share with us, even the food. They did the best they can. We can't get mad at them for not knowing, but we can get mad at ourselves for not trying to get better information so we can know, so we can make sure that the extension of who we are exists. I know some of you have grandchildren, and some of you have children who probably don't listen to you, call you OG. Oh, you OG, you know, y'all don't talk about mom, dad, y'all thinking the old way. Mom, dad, y'all, you know, where did they get this information from to question you? You've been here twice as long as they've been on the planet, but they have the audacity to question something that you say. So that means that we must not be saying it right. And the reason we're not saying it right is because we don't know that we don't know. So if you're going to share something with your children, if you're going to share something with your grandchildren, you're going to need to know. You can't fake the funk without children. These children are too educated. They have so much technology. Now, you can't say anything to them that don't make any sense. So you have to be able to reach out and touch them in a special place. You got to be able to meet them where they are instead of getting mad at them because they're where they are. Because they really think they know something. Well, who they know it from the very same person who caused the problem in the first place. And they don't know that. So how many kind of conversations can you have inviting them over to dinner, sitting at the dinner table, and just sharing, not telling, just sharing. Did you know this? Did you know that? And get in a conversation and get their input instead of trying to tell them what to do. On Wednesday, our friend Mark Shaheed has a show on a Parent and Reconstruction Learning Lab, and it talks about the disconnection between our children and the parents. And that disconnection is the lack of ability to communicate because, oh, man, when I went to school, we used to walk in the snow. You kids don't have no problem. What? You can't tell our young people that. They can't even fathom what you're talking about, walking to school in the snow. They don't understand any of that kind of stuff. So you have to find a way to be better at what you do and be better at your ability to communicate and not try to impose. It's like our religion. You do not impose on anybody. You speak to them in a language they can understand. Do you have discussions? So for those of you who may have some questions, you know, the floor is open. The mics are available to you to press 1 on your phone and make a comment. We don't want to preachers. We want you to make a comment something that may be happening to you that you can share with one of my listening audiences that could be beneficial. You may want to share with us something that happened in your family life that made a difference in your family life. You know, so press one on your phone. And those of you who are on the internet, as I said earlier, you'll press, call 650-669-0458. And you have that opportunity to text me a question, and we'll be able to answer that question online. I know I'm not Abdul Shaheed, but I am in the School of American School of Symptomatry, class 101. And let me share something with you. For those of you who have not enrolled, and you should, because this is absolutely phenomenal information, phenomenal education. And if you don't really understand how your brain works, and we think we know, we have to ask our question, how did you know what you think you know? You really have to ask yourself that question. Where do you get that information from? When someone speaks to your heart, somebody speaks to your soul, when someone speaks to you in a way you can't deny the information, it's amazing. So they have classes once a month. If they had it twice a month, I would have to drop out. That's how much information is being delivered. When you start talking about enzymes and neurotransmitters and cell maintenance, it's so much information in this phenomenal body that we have, and we have to address this. Who in the world, how in the world did you get here? Your mother and father had a sexual act, but your mother and father had nothing to do with your two eyes, your two ears, your nose, your lips, your tongue, your arms, your feet, your fingers. Your mother and father had nothing to do with that. How did that happen? What was the mechanism that was in place in this beautiful mother who carried this human life 9 months? That alone, we could be studying for the rest of our lives. Three football fields of veins in your body. You have your heart in the right place, and it beats at a certain beat per minute. You have kidneys and spleens, types of body parts in their correct places, blood flowing at 186,000 miles per second, brain functioning, subconscious, you know, conscious, cortex, cerebral cortex, two sides of your brain. I mean, it's like, where did this come from and how did it happen? If that doesn't raise any questions, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, something's wrong with us, and we don't know that something's wrong with us because nobody ever defined us or told us who we were, what we were, and how we were when it comes to this medical concept that we talk about here on IWDM Radio. You want to talk about high blood pressure and diabetes? We've given the – let me stop saying it because I can't give advice because it's against the law. Diabetes. High blood pressure, dyslexia, seizures, strokes, cancer. If you just go back in the archives, you'll come up with answers for all those particular things. Did you know if you had high blood pressure that it's a heart problem? That's congestive heart failure. Whoever thought high blood pressure was a congestive heart failure? Why do I say that? Because your heart pumps blood. If it pumps too fast, high blood pressure. If it pump enough, low blood pressure. What is diabetes? Oh, well, your body don't produce enough insulin. No, that's not correct. It produces too much insulin, too much glucose. It can't be processed in your pancreas, can't digest it properly, so therefore you have too much what we refer to as insulin in your body because of the inability to process it. Why? Because of the foods that we eat that has glucose in it. Certain vegetables and fruits we should not be eating. And most of the vegetables and fruit that we should not be eating, we love it. We love it. But we should not be eating acidity fruit. We should be eating tropical fruit. Little things like this that you need to share with your children. So when they leave your home and go to school, they're not eating stuff that has something to do with their inability to process information, their inability to think. Sugar flakes, you know, Cheerios. We do it. We eating some of them. Now, don't try to deny it. We have given our children honey buns. We know what we feed our children. We go look in our cabinets right now. We'll find 80% of the food you have in your cabinet you should not be consuming. But just the way it is. Now, nobody's getting mad at you for doing that. We can only do what we know. You can only be what you can see. You can only act out what's been given to you. We have to do the research. So I want you to press 1 on your phone. Ask those questions. I know I'm saying something that most of us probably feel bad about, including myself. You know, I remember my daughter told me about chicken noodle soup in the can when I found out what was in chicken noodle soup. You know, that genetically altered food, GMO. She hollered, "Dad, you gave me this stuff." I didn't know. And we know we got those chicken noodle soup. We know we got them baked beans. You know we got all that stuff in our refrigerator. Let's not play with ourselves. Let's just get real and have a conversation. Get your shoes off. Call sit on the telephone. Put your baby on the phone. Put your grandbaby on the telephone. Let's talk. I have a great relationship with my granddaughter who's 7 years old, and she'll tell her teacher in a minute. My grandfather said, "I can't eat that," and will not eat it. You know, after 4 years old, our children should not be drinking milk, pasteurized milk. What? At 4 years old, your children should not be drinking pasteurized milk, nor should you. All this information that I'm talking about is readily available in detail that you can get it for yourself and not just listen to me. Just go on amsos.org. That's amsos.org and click on articles, and it will flat out absolutely blow your mind on what we don't know. And we need to get our children involved in this. We need to really sit down at the table and just pull out the documentation. Let's get in conversation with our children to educate them properly and quit listening to Dr. Frankenstein. Our children have more faith in something outside the home than inside the home. That don't even make any sense. You mean to tell me your words, your information don't have any relevance in your child's life, and you want to ask them when you come home, what's wrong with you? And nothing wrong with them. Something happened to them. What didn't you do? And we have to accept that. It's okay. It's okay that we don't know. What's not okay, when someone shares with you and you don't go do the research, then there's a problem with that. Because guess what? You are affecting your legacy. You are affecting your future. And we always say children are our future. When we as parents don't know anything, what kind of future they're going to have? This isn't a whipping session. This is an educational session. This is scientific enlightenment. Health education at its highest point. Health education. And we haven't even talked about drinking the wrong types of water. We haven't talked about breathing the three types of air. It's three qualities of oxygen, ladies and gentlemen. Three. And we know that. There's three nervous systems, the genes, the DNA, and the three RNAs that make up our body. How are you going to talk to your children about science class when they come home and ask you a question when you don't know anything about science? Because what you learned is not something that was correct. It's not something that was correct. We know about mucus content in our lungs. We're constantly spitting up mucus all the time. Where does that come from? How does it exist? Where these pains and aches come from? They say pains and aches are really symptoms of something going wrong. But if you don't know how to do the research, we have some issues. We need to know how to do the research, and that's what we do every Tuesday on IWDM Radio. Once again, I want to thank you for listening today. IWDM Radio, this is Rashid Talab, your host and engineer for the night show of Science of Health and You. And our second portion tonight will be financial empowerment. We'll be talking about some financial issues. We'll be talking about wills and trusts. We'll be talking about death, how not to have a messy death. where we talk about those pertinent things that all of us are going to go through at some point in time in our lives. So how do we continue and share this with our children so no one will be in a situation where they don't understand? Ladies and gentlemen, the floor is yours. This is your program. So I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to allow you to press 1 on your telephone. And I think I said quite a bit in a very short period of time that could probably, something I said probably resonates with you. Some information that you want to give and confirm some of the things I'm saying is okay. It really is okay not to know. What's not okay when you have a question in the back of your mind and you don't ask that question, you just say, oh, he don't know what he's talking about. Well, you have an opportunity to prove it. You have an opportunity to be directed to a source that can help and assist you and your children, you and your family members, your husband, your wife, your cousins, your nephews, your nieces. Everybody can be affected. If you just look around right now and you try to ask this question, what's wrong with our young people? Anybody on this line who haven't asked that question of themselves, something's wrong. You know something's happened. You know something's going on with the age group, as they say, from 17 to 35. That's who 67% of all the crimes that are being committed are ages 17 to 35. Why? What do we know about mental health? What do we know about pharmaceutical drugs that are in our food? What do we know about the types of foods that we're eating? What do we know about GMO seeds? What do we know about genetically altered material in our food? What do we know about glucose in the brain, hypoglycemia? I know you heard these terms before. What do we know about the poison in your brain that happens when you have vertigo? That's brain poisoning. Vertigo. Those of you who have, when you get up, you get real dizzy and you can't walk straight. Brain poisoning. What am I talking about? So when we start talking about depression, we start talking about anxiety, when you start talking about panic attacks, when you start talking about unjustified fear and phobias, when you start talking about cravings, drug cravings, addictions, schizophrenia, stubbornness, stealing, lying, anger, inability, memory loss, hearing voices, sudden impulses to run away from home, steal, fight somebody, kill somebody, arson, suicidal tendency. All this is brain damage. And our children rather hurt somebody else intentionally because they don't know or they don't have the ability for their brain essentials to function and put them on a course because of what? We have to ask ourselves this question. So for those of you who want to ask the question, I know I said something. Especially stubbornness. You know, we have our kids that's stubborn. You know, I don't know if you have the problems that I've been having with suicidal tendencies where our young people, because of their peers, they don't have the common sense or the ability to come home and talk to mommy and daddy. Whose fault is that? The brain dysfunctionality. Drug addiction, cravings. Where did it come from? So instead of saying what's wrong with us, we should be concerned about this one key word, what happened to us. And this is the subject matter that we talk about every Tuesday here on IWM Radio. And please press 1 on your phone if you have a question. And I do have two questions from the Internet so far. But let me have a hand that's raised in the queue. We have 314-833. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum to you, Rashid Salam, and to your very distinguished radio listening audience there at IWDM Radio. This is Mark Shaheen from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say Alhamdulillah, and that simply means that the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost, always. I'm really enjoying the learning lab tonight on the science of your health. A lot of great information, you know, just recapping some of the information that has been shared over the past, I would say, 2 years on this production has been outstanding. You know, information in education is only as good as application to get the realization and manifestation that you want in your life. You know, my question is something I would love for you to talk and expound upon. You know, you bring up an interesting point of concern and interest that we should have, especially for our children, in terms of their mental attitude, disposition, and their behavior today. And I think that it can be attributed to not only the food, that's one big thing in which they're being fed, but also the mental food that they're being fed and how it affects them emotionally, spiritually, and also socially. If you could, you know, get a little bit into that, because I think to have optimal health, you want your children, okay? Of course you should want to be healthy in every aspect of human life. What composes, you know, human life? And are we just a one-dimensional creature? And I know we're not. I know you know we're not. So how important it is to be healthy in every aspect of your life today. And, yes, you know, we're not only talking about homicide, genocide, but it would be interesting to know, and maybe somebody may have done the research out there, in terms of suicide, you know, this depression that you're talking about, how we put undue and unnecessary stress in our life because we are not mentally sound and stable. We're not mentally healthy. We don't have a healthy disposition about life to be able to know those things that we do have power over, and those things that we have to have faith in. I think all of these things actually affect each aspect of the human composition. So if you would, kind of talk a little bit about that and give us a little bit more in-depth, because, yeah, it starts with what it is that we put into our system, but we're just not one-dimensional. Yes, we are physical beings, but we are also mental beings, and, of course, we are moral beings, or we should be moral beings, and we are emotional and spiritual, and all of these aspects actually affect in terms of being social beings, and this can affect the behavior it is that we see. So I'm enjoying it, as always, the science of your health and your wealth learning lab. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, Islam. Thank you so much, Mark. And you raised some serious, serious questions. We can probably just take your questions and do a whole show on them. That's how serious and how deep what you're saying is. You know, and I always like to, and I always like to make sure that people know, sometimes, most of the time, we don't realize what's required for optimal body function. Sometimes we just don't know. We just don't know what it is. And when we think, when we sit here and think about how the body is supposed to function and what causes the function, why energy and why certain types of minerals and vitamins should come into existence for our body parts to be in sync, we always say here on the show, your body is integrated, interrelated, and interconnected. Everything about those 200 cell types, everything about those 75 to 100 trillion cells have a particular job to do. This is the beauty of our Creator. You know, He didn't make any mistakes. But what happened here, someone did a sincere and serious research on the human body to be in control of the mental capability and the capacity for us to think and reason and follow things to its logical conclusion. We don't think in terms of historical trauma. We don't think in terms of generational trauma. We don't think in terms of if we go back in our past and just look at the subject matter, look at what happened to us then and what's happening to us now in a more sophisticated way. We're going to miss the boat, Mark. You know, then we have these psychologists and these psychiatrists who basically had an experimental study. Psychology and psychiatry is an experimental study. It started in 1844 by an Austrian. You know, then we had Wilhelm, what they call Wilhelm Wundt, W-U-N-D-T, who became the father of, check his word out, experimental psychology. And these were the founders of the first psychology lab, along with Sigmund Freud, the neurologists, and all these people. And we give these people praise and credit. And their job was to destroy the ability for you to think. You know, Booker T. Washington said it best. We will never rise any higher as a nation until we get our children to the point where they can think. What does thinking consist of? It consists of your ability to create neurons and neurotransmitters and enzymes and all those intricate details of the 200 cell types that we just need to know about. Nobody said we had to be heavy. At least know what they are and how they affect us, because everything is interrelated and integrated. Everything. So if one thing is off, a perfect example that I gave about high blood pressure, it's congestive heart failure. Now, whoever thought those two things went together? Maybe I told you about diabetes. Whoever thought that we could eat certain types of food that would cause our glucose levels and our insulin levels to be out of whack? It's all integrated and interrelated. And we have to find a way to understand that our brain lacks proper nourishment. Our brain will shrink if we don't give it proper neuronal connectivity. Our brains function on glucose, which is a energy. It will affect your ability, your behavior patterns. It will affect your analytical skills. It will affect your ability to perceive and reason. It will affect all these things, but if you don't know about these things, you don't even know it's happening to you. This is why we have to take the time out to really pay attention of what our brain needs on a 24-hour basis, glucose, heat, and iodides. Now, what is iodide? This is the work we have to do, Mark. It's serious work that we have to do. Anytime you put a pharmaceutical drug in your body, you cause something to happen in your disposition, in your mental health. It causes something to happen in your discourse and how you speak and how you communicate. It messes with your mental deterioration. It messes with your concept of making proper decisions. So in the workplace and in the public aspects of life, we have a brain disability. And we think we're talking. We think we got it like that. We really think we know what we're talking about. But guess what? There's a functionality that we never paid attention to. There's a functionality that we never paid attention to. Digestion, how important digestion is. So when we start talking about the 11 systems of the human body, which we're going to start talking about starting on our next show, how the body actually works, we're going to break down every single system in your body, from the skeletal system to the mental system to the respiratory system. We're going to cover all of that, so stay tuned and make sure that you're on the air with us. Because for the first time in our lives, Mark, we now have the ability to get 100% truth about the human anatomy that we walk around with 24/7 every single day of the week. Every single day of the week, and we don't know how it works. It's shameful, but it's not a negative thing. It's once you come into the knowledge of this, and we don't spread this information, if we don't share this information with our family members, and that, you know, you know how I am when it comes to our children. We say children are our future. I want you to hear what you're saying. If children are your future, and you don't have a clue on how to create that future for them or put them on the path to success, what is this saying about our children? Our children are in this world. They're of this world, and you can't even communicate with most of them. They have such a disposition about them that nothing you say matters. They don't think you know what you're talking about. What kind of mental disorder is that? This is dangerous. This is dangerous. So I'm so sick and tired of somebody trying to tell me who I am and what I am when I can find out for myself, because we have the ability to access this information very clearly, very succinctly, right now. We don't have to second guess. What we have to do is get our brains together, get our minds together, get our thinking process together, and understand that we are lacking some issues in our lives. We are. We are lacking brain functionality. Accept it. It's okay. The damage that was done generationally, the damage that was done historically, is still functioning in our lives today, ladies and gentlemen. We are suffering. He wanted to call it post-traumatic. No, post-traumatic nothing. This is real life. It's lack of education, lack of information about something that you walk around with every single day of the week, and that's your human body, and you don't even question how it works. You don't even question it. And then you let somebody else tell you about it. They can't even tell you how to cure a stomach ache. This is what we have to recognize. It's okay. But what's not okay when your babies are going in direction and we say they're our future? Well, what kind of future they're going to have with this artificial intelligence? What kind of future they're going to have with thinking they know something or going to their peers who just the same age they are, like they know something, and they getting together and think we got it like that? They do not. They're falling victim to this world as it is. They're falling victim to the depression. They're falling victim to all the stubbornness and schizophrenia, all the crazy stuff. And we are all experiencing all of that stuff right now. Just look at your government. You got 40 million people voting for somebody who's got 91 indictments. A man who's already proven to cheat and rip off people. He closed his foundation down. He stole from his own foundation. And these people say you want him to be your president? You know something's wrong with the mental capability and the mental capacity of human beings. It has nothing to do with Democrats. It has nothing to do with Republicans. It has nothing to do with independents. It has to do with human mental dysfunctionality. So with that, I'm going to hang on just one second. I got another hand that's raised. I have two other questions on the Internet. Those of you who are on the line, this is IWDM Radio. Press one on your phone. We're almost up on the first hour. And we want to make sure that you have an opportunity to get your questions in. I know the question that Mark gave, I'm telling you something. We can talk about that for the next 2 days. That's how serious it is. Your mental capability, your mental capacity, and your ability to reason and look at things from a different perception and perceive and gather information so you can follow it to its logical conclusion. And that's you, the science of you. With that, we have 111. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum. It's your friendly Amina.
How you doing, Amina?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to get in before you go to the second segment that I had a conversation. First of all, you know, what we have to realize is that we're in a system, because if we're in this country, which most of the, you know, those of us that were born here and, you know, all of that, and other people that come here from around the world, in the mm-hmm. U.S., you know, we're in there's a mental health system that's been put in place, to really, destroy people's minds. Why do I say that? Looking into the history of mental health industry in this country, and you were just talking about, you know, some of those so-called founders, but I looked at, and I've always been a student of history, I looked at, you know, who in our African American, black, whoever, whatever you want to say, you know, Bilalian, who, you know, our community, were psychiatrists and psychologists, because psychiatrists are the ones that are trained in medical schools to give medications. They only do medication. They dope you up on medications. And the psychologist is trained to see, you know, check your mind. Well, how does your mind work? And we have so much social engineering that's been done until we don't realize that we're in a system that they put together to keep us out, to keep us crazy. You know, people used to do lobotomies. These people themselves were crazy. So we have to keep that in mind and not be caught up. And I had an interesting conversation with a brother I had not seen in a long time yesterday. He works for the transit system here. And he mentioned to me, he said, "What is wrong with us, Sister Amina?" He said, "We don't treat each other well." And that's part of the mental problems that we don't really deal with it. So everybody always talks about the children, but the adults, a lot of the adults and all the faiths, no matter what faith they're in, you know, they have not set the good example. They've been caught up in substance abuse and mental health, you know, taking these people's medications and going with their health care. That's what's wrong with us. We got to check ourselves as adults. We got to really check ourselves and go to another way. This COVID showed everybody this. They showed us how broken this system, this so-called healthcare, which is really a sick care system. It's not a healthcare. It's sick care. It is sick care to keep people sick and on medication. And one of the things that we need to realize, what would happen if everybody would not take any drugs, any medications? This economy would collapse. And,
yes,
and they wouldn't deal with any liquor, any drugs. I'm talking about all of them because there's thousands of them out here, thousands. So we got to look at, we got to look at ourselves as adults. And the brother, you know, got me to thinking when he mentioned that, because he said, we got some mental health stuff in our community. He's talking about the Muslims. In our in the masjid community, you know, like I said, it doesn't matter what religion, you know, Christian, Muslim, Jew. We have to look at ourselves and deal with why have we bought into a system that's really been trying to kill us. And I hang up and listen. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Wa alaikum salam. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. You bring up some beautiful points. And that's what's happening. You know, I mean, you couldn't have said it any better. And as a financial person, I always have said this when, before I even became part of the Islamic faith. We have the power to change this country overnight, just our community. Forget everybody else's community. The African-American community can change this overnight. Our problem is this. They've done the job on us. Well, we don't trust each other. We don't respect each other. And for those of you on the line, when I first started the show, the staple singer was saying, respect yourself. We have no respect for each other. Now, how did they come about? That's the question we have to ask ourselves, this question. We've gone to their schools, and Carter G. Wilson told us in 1934, if you went to school, and I'm not talking about anybody, you can have your PhD, MBA, whatever you want to call it. You did not go to these particular schools to become educated. You went to these schools to become trained. We have to accept that, and a lot of us won't do it. You know, I've gotten in conversation with PhDs and psychologists, and they just get mad at me. You don't have no degree. What degree do you have? Whose degree is that? Whose information is that? misinformation, disinformation, consistently and constantly brainwashing us to think and act the way this social engineering, as you refer to, has taken place in our lives. It has happened. They did a very good job of it, and we are fighting each other every single day. Our children are killing each other every single day. Our women are having babies out of wedlock at epic proportion. Three different baby daddies in their house. And even the baby daddies have a problem. He says, well, why are you doing this yourself? What has happened to the mental capacity, the mental thinking, that we have been damaged so severely that we can't function as human beings? Now, keep this in mind as we begin to show down, shut down the particular program. There's only two things in the world you can be. You can be a human or you can be an animal of some sort. Human beings function and operate on intellect. On intellect. Animals operate on instinct. You can't be almost human, all human, or maybe I got a little human in me. Either you are intellectual or you're not. If you are not, then you're acting on the same level as an instinctive animalistic behavior. If you look around our communities throughout this country, I mean, I get, I'm in about five or six different states. I'm getting this constant barrage of shootings and killings taking place all throughout this country. If you look around this country, something is severely wrong with us. Now, they're not killing us, but they're killing us softly with mental disposition, mental condition, where we bought into all this mess that they claim to know. And how in the world can you believe someone education when it's not yours? We just went through the African American Heritage New Year, the Renaissance of Black History Month. That's what we see. That's the type of thing we have. Let's change the language. There ain't no Black History Month, but it's blacked out our history. That's basically what they're saying to you. You know, so we have to begin to change. And so this is a process. It didn't happen overnight. It's not going to change overnight. But we're going to have to be conscious overnight and begin to put in place with our children those necessary tools to make them, I'm not calling rebellious, but you're going to have to be bold enough to stand up to the truth. This mess that they're teaching us in these schools are not correct. My son, 5 years old, the teacher called me on the telephone, you're going to have to come and get your child. I said, why? He's interrupting the class. He said, there's no such thing as Santa Claus. It was funny to me. I said, is it? Well, is it? If he's telling the truth, why are you trying to deprive him of his functionality? But I didn't teach him about Santa Claus. Even before I became his religion, it was no such thing as some fat man coming down some chimney. I went through it with my growing up, my family. I was so pissed off at my dad at 12 years old when I found out all the toys was in the basement, locked in a room. I was so pissed off. My dad never lied to me, but I was hurt. So these damaged types of things that have happened to our thinking capacity, our thinking, has really caused us generationally, historically, issues in our community. Anyone else has something they want to bring to the table? I know we can sit here and talk all night about what is, what the possibilities are, or what they could be. But if you have a relevant statement you want to make, or you just want to share a story, like a man and Mark, you just want to share a story, just press one of your phones. We have the opportunity currently to help someone else. So I hope what I'm saying, some of you have had that same experience. You know, and we have to be concerned about our children and our grandchildren. If this, the rate, if they continue this rate of self-destruction, we're going to be in the museums, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be like the Indians. We're going to be like the Aztecs. We're going to be like the Mayans. We're going to be like all those people who were already here before this European ever came here, and now we're in the history books, and they're not even telling us the truth about that history. We've already changed the name of our history instead of putting a face that was Kemetish, a face that was Egyptian. They changed the face with a European face. They put movies on about Cleopatra and Nefertiti. Those people were not Europeans. Why would you put that image of that on a TV screen for my children to see, to delete and eliminate their ability to think and read about their history? they have been doing this a long time, and it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop. When you look at voting rights, you thought John Lewis and Martin King and Medgar Evers and Ida B. Wells have already fought for us to have the right to vote. And what are they doing right now? Redlining. They're decentralizing your ability to vote in 2024. Are you kidding me? What kind of sick mind is this? And these are the people that we have in place. These are the people who are basically trying to tell us it's okay. This is how it's supposed to be. It's Constitution of the United States. It's not even true what it is. They say 47 years ago, our forefathers brought forth to this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. You know that's a lie. That's a bald-faced lie. And we sit here and let it happen and let our children go through it. We don't stand up. We don't talk to our children about these particular things, give them their true history. It's all over the internet. When you want to know your history, the internet has it all. Take you all the way back to BCE, QZV, whatever you want to take it back to, the documentation is done. We don't have to go far to get it. We just go to Shake Google, and they drop it on us. Anything you want to know about your history, and these are the types of things we need to be sharing with our children, or else our children are going to be devastated. They'll be a part of history. They're even telling us that by the time one of our children reach the third and fourth grade, their reading level determines how many prisons they build. You see how important education is? If you're going to make a determination that my reading ability, the reading level at the fourth grade would make a determination on whether I'm going to go to prison or not, and they already put in place those tools and resources to ensure, make sure that that's what's going to happen and we won't do anything about it. We don't get on the school board. We don't vote locally. I'm not thinking about the president. The local voting is the most important voting. The people who come into your city council and your aldermen, the people who are on your school board, people who are your state legislators, those are the people we need to put in office. It's enough of us to do what we want to do. And that's why they have this propensity to try to keep you from voting and make and downplay voting that your vote don't count. Well, on a large scale, we know we have a way to elect a president, but on a local level, you got the power. You have the power. We just have to be smart enough and conscious enough. What we have to do is make sure our brain essentials are in place. We have to make sure that we're not suffering from suicidal tendencies. When I say suicidal tendencies, I don't mean trying to kill yourself, but we're killing our children mentally. We're hurting our children unintentionally, but we're doing it. This wave of mental disorders is not new. It's old as time itself. And we are experiencing this serious wave in this country, and we're going to have to try to find a way. And we have that way by getting the basic structure with symptometry. The basic structure. Nobody said this was the whole caboodle, that this is all we need. No, you got to think right. You got to eat right. Where are our forms? Who produces our food? Why are we dependent on someone else? Understand the toxicity that's in our air, toxicity on our plants. If you don't know how to use a saline solution to clean your vegetables, guess what? You're consuming the same toxicity that's on that vegetable if you don't know how to clean it. I put it in water. No, you have to have a salt saline, a salt solution when you wash your vegetables. Certain vegetables we can't eat. We cannot eat lettuce. You cannot eat lettuce or tomatoes. You cannot do it. Now, you want to know why not? Then you have to take the initiative to go on the website of AMSOS, AMSOS.org. And on there, you click on this section that says articles, and it'll take you for the last 3 years of all the phenomenal information. You can take your time and read it and find out about things that we never knew about. Why we shouldn't be eating certain things that we have fallen in love with. Why we shouldn't be what we call vegans. We think veganism is what's happening. Herbs have poison in them. If you don't know how to handle the poison that's in these herbs that we take, if the right bounding, right measurements are not taking place, we're going to hurt ourselves at some point in time down the road. We need 75% protein every single day, 25% starch. That's what we have to have every single day. So we'll be talking about those meals that we should be eating during the month of Ramadan. We'll be sharing with you the types of food that you should be eating, the types of oils that you should be using, and some of the sweets that we have a tendency to eat. You know, we think it's okay. Once you clean your body, you're going to put poison back in it. That doesn't make any sense. So what are those things that we should and should not be eating? Let's not be mad because we didn't know. And I mentioned earlier about dates. Dates have fungus in them. Dates have a sugar in them that affects your ability. Now, oh, man, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, yes, they did. Different time, different soil, different trees, all that. Is not the same. We have to be scientists. We have to look into these things. Everything is not always relative. Things change over time. And everybody who knows anything about this country, they've already told us in 1935 that we don't have good soil. Sick soil, sick plants, do we want? What else do I need to say? That we can't accept Master said this. It's not what she said. Master said they already told us. The soil does not have the nutrients to grow a healthy plant. What more do I need to say? Now, if you want to continue eating lettuce and tomatoes, that's on you. If you want to continue eating foods that don't have the proper nutrients in it, well, that's on you. We have to take the initiative. What I do want to say is this. Your child don't know. You want to keep on giving them honey buns, frosted flakes, milk over four? You want to keep on giving them this nasty chicken that they shoot steroids in to make the child, the little chick grow into a full-blown chicken in 2 weeks with steroids? If you eat the chicken, the steroids in you. That's why you can't get rid of the weight. Because you're full of steroids, because you eat the meat that has it in. It grafts into your own body. You get a sick cow or a sick chicken, it grafts in your own body if you don't know how to clean these things properly. That same poison that's in that animal is in you. And you wonder why we can't lose weight. We wonder why the gases in our bodies are causing vertigo, and the gases in our body is causing our stomach to protrude. You wonder why the gases in our body are doing the things to our colon where your colon can't function right. You wonder why cerebral spinal fluid is not going up and down your spine in the manner which it's supposed to, and you're dying from inflammation and things that we don't even know about. We're dying from inflammation, ladies and gentlemen. PSA counts. Our men having all types of problems with eating dysfunctions. And we wonder what it is. It's simple to correct. Losing weight, simple to correct. But you have to want to. You have to want to. So with that, we're going to take a quick break here. And we're going to ask that you just hang on for a minute. We're going to go into our second hour. And I just want to share with you real quickly a song by the Staple Singers. And we'll be right back.
Don't give a heck about the man of the Bible and his
right, we're back. This is IWGM Radio. I am Rashid Salam, your host and your engineer for the night show. We're going into our second hour of financial empowerment. And those of you who have been on our new change that took place in January, we decided to extend the first hour into the second hour with pertinent information pertaining to our financial health. And we do know that in order to have good financial health, you have to have good mental health. And so it kind of works hand in hand where we have mental health and we have physical wealth, you know, as we want to refer to it as. We know those two words kind of work hand in hand. In both of those words, you will find one key element, and that's the word heal. Heal is in the word wealth, and heal is in the word wealth. So it's so important that we begin to fire to a higher thought process, try to seek another dimension. And for those of you who don't know me, I am a former bank manager, a corporate finance person. I've been involved in real estate, insurance, and I've been in this financial arena for quite some time in the financial institutions in corporate America. And I do know one thing about finances. Every decision that we make has a financial consequence. That's how serious finances is. Every decision we make has some form of financial consequence. So we want to be careful and be cognizant of what does that really mean? We begin to try to acquire wealth, as we refer to it as, whether I should be buying a home or I should be renting. What type of attitude do I need to do? How do I prepare for this world that we call America? This world that we refer to as, and we know one thing about America, it's not a democracy, it's a capitalistic society. So someone's always trying to capitalize on you, and that's what I learned by being involved in a financial institution. I tried to bring to my supervisor's attention, why don't we educate people about this and educate people about that? He looked at me like I was crazy. Why would we do that? If we do that, they wouldn't bring us their money. And as a young person during that time period, it didn't faze me what he was really saying. If we told people the truth, they wouldn't give us the money and we couldn't exist. I want you to hear something. A bank can only be a bank if you make a deposit. A bank could not exist unless we made a deposit. Now, the deposits that we make, they take our money, accumulate it, and they borrow 10 times that amount of money that they have in deposits. And they take that money they use that we gave them freely, and they create a business model out of it because of your deposit. I just want you to ask yourself this question. Does that make sense? And why did I go to the bank in the first place? Who told me I had to go to a bank? What about a credit union? Nobody mentioned that to me. And banks came into existence because of credit unions back in the days. Back in the early days when the farmers who had gotten together, they decided to pool their resources so they can buy products and goods and services to make sure and ensure that every farm was able to produce what they needed to produce so they can have community life. Now, I just want to ask you this question. Why are you putting your money in the bank? Some of us, we're protected. They protect up to $250,000 in our bank account. Okay, just suppose you have $250,000 and the bank fails. Do you really think you're going to get $250,000? They have 20 years to in fine print in order for you to get that money. 20 years. Did you know that? You ever heard of fractional banking? Have you heard of fractional banking? If you have not, then you need to tune in and stay tuned in. And more importantly, you need to call all your friends and relatives. Right now, why do we put our money in banks? Why do we put our money in banks? And do we understand what a bank is? So I had a guest who was supposed to be on tonight out of Washington, D.C., and I don't see his number in the queue yet. So I'm going to try to – look like everybody deserted me today. Our guest speaker, he had some issues, and looks like my speaker on how to avoid a messy death. We're going to talk about wills and trust. So we're just going to do some 1-2-3s, and if you have any questions that may come up or anything you'd like to offer based on your vast knowledge, you may be a banker, you may be a financial person, you may be someone who has an insurance license that you can share with us and help us on. So starting in January, we put on a program where we started talking about basics, the ABCs of financial empowerment. The first class was on monetizing your attitude. What do you mean, monetizing your attitude? Getting your thoughts and your mind in a state that you can think and perceive and create an environment where I have financial responsibility to myself first and foremost, and financial responsibility to my family, then to my community, and then to your state. That attitude is so important. But if we have a bad attitude because what happened in the first session we just experienced, you didn't eat right, you didn't think right, you wasn't educated correctly, and therefore your thinking ability is going to be based on someone telling you something that you had done no research on yourself to even know whether you're practicing the right financial concepts or not. That's what we mean by financial, monetizing your attitude, getting your head on right, understanding where you live. This is not a democracy, ladies and gentlemen. This is a capitalist society. This is why 80% of the wealth is owned by 20% of the people. They're trying to tell us it's probably less than that. 80% of all the wealth in the United States of America is owned by 20% of the population. Who are they? Doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make any sense. But that's the way it is. So that's what monetizing your attitude is all about, just getting your head on right, understanding where you live. And I ask this question to my young people that I teach in classes, what type of society do we live in? Democracy, autocracy, democratic, capitalism? They always say the wrong thing. We're not a democracy. No, we don't. There's nothing democratic about this country. As I stated earlier, 67 years ago, our forefathers brought forth to this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Who were they talking to? They surely wasn't talking to us, since we have been listed as 3/4 human. See the work that has to be done, you know, mentally. We have to have something going for us, a state of a new dimension of understanding that's required for us to be able to function in this society. The second class was on we call cash spending, and we refer to that as the 50-30-20 plan. You know, when we say cash spending, they usually refer to their word as budget, but the word budget is too restrictive, so we refer to it as cash spending. Understanding the importance of the 50-30-20 concept. Now, what is that? Being able to do your assets and your liabilities, taking your income and all your assets, all your debts, and making a determination, how much do I spend, you know, on things that I gotta have, that's your needs. These are your rent, utilities, your car note, all those things that you need, it should never exceed 50%. If it does, we're in trouble. You have to increase your income circle, but you got to have mental capacity in order to do that. You got to understand, why should I be having a little business on the side? How can I increase my taxes or decrease my taxes, shall I say, excuse me? Well, having a business on the side, because all the tax laws are designed for the entrepreneur, meaning what? And if you're an entrepreneur, you can take advantage of all the tax laws that all the corporations and everyone else participates in. We need to know something about the country. We need to have a better understanding. We need to understand who we are, what we are, what some of our gifts. Do we have the time? How many children do we have? Am I working every day? Can I file a nonprofit organization? Can I file an LLC? Can I file these particular things that give me the advantage that most corporations have because they're in business for self? That's how you give yourself a raise, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have to ask your boss for a raise. You can give a raise to yourself by taking advantage of the tax laws in this country. So the 50-30-20 plan talks about 50% need, 30% wants, and 20% of discretionary, whatever it may be. Now, most of us have wants that exceed 50%. When we do that, we have an issue. This is just an outline or a platform that you can use to control your money, control your cash spending, and also maintain a good income circle. That's so important. It really is so important that you understand that. The third week, we turned it into, we talked about a little bit of insurance, put together our financial plan, and identified what our assets are and our liabilities are. If your liabilities outweigh your assets, then there are some issues going on in your life that you're going to have to correct. Because the goal is to ensure your assets and your financial plan. If you have more liabilities, and what are you insuring? You know, insurance needs to be called death insurance. But insurance is basically the financial plan that you put in place to ensure that if I do have a financial plan, I want to acquire $200,000 in 5 years or 10 years. Your insurance is what you get to just in case you don't make it, that you have a $200,000 insurance policy to make sure that that plan comes into fruition in case you have an untimely situation, untimely circumstance in your life. So it's important to understand why we do insurance and not to drop that when things go wrong in our house because your 50-30-20 plan is out of whack. That usually is what happens. Our income circle, it is what it is. If it's $1,500 a month, guess what? That's it. And you're going to have to break that down. And you're going to have to make some adjustments to make sure that 20% of what we call the discretionary income, in some cases, we don't have that 20% because our needs and our wants take care of all of that. And there's nothing left to do anything with, nothing left to invest, nothing left to share with our children. Allow your children about $25 bond, you know, U.S. Treasury bond every month. If they're small, they're 25, so you're getting your children involved in finances at an early age. So by the time they get to be 21, and finish college at $25 bond, excuse me, has made some money for you. That's good thinking. So once we got past the understanding the financial liability and assets and insurance, we talked about a little bit about taxes and how important it is to have taxes at home, taxes for your business life, taxes for your business life, and taxes for your personal life. And I kind of share with you on the personal side how you can improve your tax base. But some of us may be in business. What have you done? What have you done to ensure that you have that part of your life in place? Then we're at the point now where we really want to talk about empowerment. How to develop your own personal financial plan. This is hard, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing easy about what I'm talking about. There's nothing easy about how to develop your own personal life, a financial plan. It's difficult to come up with your own personal life plan. Forget the finance. These are things that we're going to have to do. The definition of the word corporation is a person. So each and every person on this phone, every entity that you come in contact with, you are a business. When you have a service or a skill set, you're merging with another company. Look at it like that. It's an IPO. It's an initial public offering. You have something that somebody else wants. They merge, and you create an environment where you all can make some money. But guess who really makes the money? You're underpaid. Everything that you come up with on that particular job, if it's a new idea that made their company money, you don't own it because the laws say if you work for someone, you come up with an idea or a patent, it's not yours. What's the difference in being on the plantation? That's basically what we're talking about. The definition of the word employer, employee is a slave master relationship. Go to the law library, look it up. Don't listen to Mr. Rashid. Look it up. The definition of employer, employee in the law library is a slave and slave master relationship. Some of us work for IBM, Google. They're nothing but big plantations. So your skill sets, your ideas, you have to create and turn them into an entrepreneurial situation so you can make the money, so you can be the entity. But you have to understand, you have to really go to work to find out how these people function. So when you get a job, go to the top. How you get started? What do you have to do? And you learn it from top to bottom. Because your goal and your aspiration should be entrepreneurship. And you put your plan together. That's why we talk about personal life plan, personal financial plan. You put those plans together with the hopes of being your own business. Because those businesses have all the tax benefits. The corporations receive. I told you Google didn't pay an ounce of taxes last year. You'll be shocked. IBM, Facebook didn't pay not one dime in taxes. So who's paying for it? A hardworking person who works up under this, what they call the syndrome, the 40-40 syndrome, working 40 hours a week for 40 years and retiring in poverty. That's what we do. Why? Because we don't know any better. And some of us have been fortunate. Some of us have been able to buy homes and so forth and so on. But when it comes to cash, how much cash do we have? Oh, my home, I got $100,000 in equity. Well, what's equity? Let's ask you that question. I mean, that's $100,000. Go get it. Go to the bank and give me my equity. Oh, they'll give you an application so you can borrow it. So you don't have any equity. It's voodoo economics, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it is. There's no such thing as equity. It's an opportunity for you to borrow some money, participate in the society that you were trained to participate in, so you could be in the same boat with everybody else by going into debt. Debt is detrimental. The first four letters of detrimental are debt. D-E-B-T. These are little lessons. I'm not trying to educate anybody. I'm just trying to inform you. We have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of training to do with our children. We have to put ourselves in a situation where our children will listen to us. We have to know something. And I know most of you don't have a clue on the things that I'm sharing with you. So if you talk this kind of talk to your children, where do you think they're going to be? How do you think they're going to think? Oh, man, my mom told me, my dad told me, yeah, blah, blah, blah. They'll talk a little bit different. They'll have a different personality, a different concept, because when they want to know something, they come into you. Not going to these schools that train you to function and go to work for them and give all your time and attention over 40 years to them. All these wonderful inventions that we talk about throughout the annals of history that were created by us, our ethnic group, and we don't have any patents on anything. Traffic light. I know the great-great-grandson of the brother who created the traffic light. Don't have a patent at first. They say Eli Whitney created the cotton gin. Are you kidding me? The brother created the cotton gin, and guess what? He couldn't get a patent, so the European took it from him. We can go on and on and on throughout the annals of history because we don't know our history. All we know is his story. You don't know your story. And this is the beauty of discussion that you have with your children. This is how we talk about financial futures. This is how we talk about legacies. This is how we talk about all of the inventions that were created back in the day. Here come Jim Crow laws and took it all away from us. Not that we didn't do anything. It was no coincidence out of the 4 million slaves that were released back in 1925 that 80% of them were skilled laborers. And they did what? They went to work economically and put together their own concepts, their own businesses. They knew that the money had to turn over 27 to 30 times in their own community. The only way you could do that is be in business for self. I just want to take a minute, and hopefully I said some things before we get any further, because sometimes I can sit here and talk about finances all day, because I know we don't know why, because I sit behind that desk and fill out and look at those applications that people were bringing to me, borrowing money for things they had no business borrowing money for. I'm going on vacation. I need $1,000. Unbelievable. I need two tires on my car. I mean, if you had saw the applications that come from our community, it is mind-boggling. Why? Because we don't know. And there's nothing wrong with that. If we can continue to exist like this, our children cannot continue to exist like this without knowing the intricate details on economics and finance. Why is it important that you should be in business for sale? What are the tools? How can we begin to put together a business plan? No one said you had to make any money right away. Go into business. Sell some shoestrings. Because you still get tax benefits, and you have 3 years to make any money before anybody will say anything to you. You're in research and development. But in the process of research and development, you're bound to come into some type of knowledge and information to make your business work. Home-based businesses are essential. Anybody can start a home-based business. You can write off certain square footage of your home where your computer is. You can go out to dinner and write off 50% of that on taxes. If you buy some tires for your car, 50% of that's tax deductible. The pens, the printers, the computers, all that stuff is tax deductible. Matter of fact, you can even buy, you can lease your car. If you have a business, lease your car and all the payments that you make are tax deductible. Did you know that? But we'll go out there and finance a car all day long and get no benefits. Lease your car for your business and it becomes a tax deduction. This is IWDM Radio and this is Rashid Salam, your host and engineer for tonight's show. If I say anything that resonates with you, please press one on your phone. And ask a question or share something with us. If you're a business person, are you someone who's gone into business and has been successful or non-successful? It really doesn't matter. You can share with the radio listening audience some great information that you have. I'm just a brother from the hood trying to do the world some good. I'm just trying to help and trying to share. You know, I was hoping my guest came on tonight to provide you with understanding how to do some financial pieces. Some things I don't want to do. I'd rather have professional people come online and share with you the things that I could say to you. Do I know about death on demand on the bank account? Yes. How you can get your money quickly. Do I know about insurance situation? Yes. Do I know about wills and trusts? Yes. Do I know what type of wills and trusts you need? Yes. But I'm not skilled in those areas where I have licensing to discuss that with you because you can't give advice. I can get arrested for talking about securities, investments. If I give advice, they can come and arrest me. I can tell you how I feel about it, what I would do, but I cannot give advice unless I'm a security exchange licensed individual. So I love to bring professionals on who have that background, who I can confirm and ask the right questions so you can get the right answers and so forth and so on. If you have a question, if you have a comment, press 1 on your phone. That's a 714-816-4673. For those who are not online, if you want to call in, who are online, who on the internet, shall I say, you want to call in, please call in at 714-816-4673. Or you can text me a question at 650-669-0458. That's 650-669-0458. Text me a question. I'll be able to answer that question online for you. But we're talking about the science of health and also the science of financial empowerment. It's all about you, and that's the name of the game. So what I want you to do is you raise your hand if you have a question about a particular thing. Maybe you're interested in how to file a nonprofit organization. Maybe you're interested in just want to know something about taxes. Maybe you're interested in just want to know, I'm on a fixed income. What can I do right now to reduce my taxes? What can I do to increase my income? These are the kind of questions you can ask. Feel free. Press 1 on your phone. I do have a hand raised here. Amina, 111, 111. Take your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Yes, I just wanted to mention, and I'll hang up, that I am currently educating myself on, you know, how to invest, you know, for people that are just on modest income. And mm-hmm. because we're not taught this in school, we're not taught this. We just, a lot of us just, you know, we just fall into whatever happens based on our upbringing. And that's same for our previous generation, you know. But I also wanted to mention that I'm currently on a quest to look at, you know, the origins before white folks took over the mental health, and I looked at the fact that because that's where we really got discombobulated. You know, we've been socially engineered.
Yes,
I'm putting a rhetorical question out there. Does anybody know the names of the African American founders of Black psychology? And the two of the names are Inez Beverly Prosser, PhD, and Mamie Phipps Clark. And the father of Black psychology, not Sigmund Freud and all those other folk, but our psychologist, was Cecil Sumner. So I just want to put that out there to challenge the community that we need to know our history before white folks took everything over and we followed what they did because we're caught up in their system, and that's where we messed up. Even the poor whites themselves, because, you know, I look at all of these, you know me, I'm a researcher by nature. So I'm going to keep, you know, so I put it out there that we have to look at who we were before we got, I don't even know what word to call it. We got negrotized. We got, you know, all caught up in this. And it doesn't matter which religion we are. Those of us that came in that transatlantic slave trade, you know, we caught up in their system. And we have to come out of it. That's the only thing I see, you know, that's going to save us. We really do. But I just put that out there as a kind of like a rhetorical challenge for anybody to kind of go, you know, because I'm looking it up. I'm looking it up. And we are some beautiful people, I tell you, in a time when everything was happening. But anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. Salamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Thank you so much, Sister Mina. There was a powerful statement that you made. And when you think about Black psychology, you know, I always refer to one beautiful African-American man in our community who came out with a piece of material, who was the only professor on a college campus who created his own African-American history class, Naeem Akbar. And he created a psychology that was just absolutely phenomenal in his ability to transcend European psychology and share with us the revised expansion of what psychology is. And what we refer to, it was an experiment. Their psychology was an experiment, but to come up with a holistic human psychology that increases the understanding of functionality, in particular us, because, see, we were damaged. And you made a beautiful statement, the fact that when we came here, what was done to us was inhuman. And they call it psychology. You know, what guide did they use to educate us about our children? What guide did they use to educate us about ourselves? What was some of the social services and the health, mental health concepts for personal development? what was given to us. They didn't give us anything, nothing. So when Naeem Akbar came out with this beautiful book and a list of books, the one that I read so often, I know we have some wonderful individuals who are in our community in the past who have done what we refer to as black psychology. I agree with you, and we should know that, what that is. But what he came up with in the 70s on psychology was unbelievable, way before his time. Type of information. One of his six books, one was called The Community of Self. And you know, I use that term all the time when I say know thyself. Take the F off, the community of the cells, the 200 cell types, which makes up psychology, the 75 to 100 trillion cells, which makes up psychology, then the ability of 11 systems to be integrated, interrelated, and interconnected. That's psychology. So we have to psychoanalyze ourselves by understanding who we are and our human anatomy. And once we know that, then God do the rest. That's what Washington Carver said it best. You know, you want to see somebody who showed you what psychology was? George Washington Carver said, if you want to know who you are, the blueprint of who you are, get up early in the morning and go outside and the microphone is right in your face, the big book, The Creation of the Universe. We don't need to refer to anybody. We have it in our hands, but we have to do that basic development that is essential for us to grasp the magnitude of what they took from us. They took from us information about who and what a human being is. We are human beings. What does that consist of? Intellect. That inspiration is called intellect. We get inspired. We get downloaded, and that's what happened to George Washington Carver. God will download to you when you already know who you are, what you are, and then I speak to you in various ways, and I speak to you through creation. That's psychology. I just want to say that, and thank you so much for that question. It is a beautiful question, and it's something that we all need to understand, but I love reading psychology. That's, I thought I was going to be a psychologist when I was growing up. I wanted to be a teacher or a psychologist. I wanted to be neither one. But human psychology was always of interest in me. How the body works is always of interest in me. How I think. You know, how do I walk and my arms move? I mean, think about moving my arms. You know, breathing. We don't even pay attention to it. We do it so naturally. So I've always been interested in that type of thing, and thank you so much for the question. I hope I kind of, you know, added a little value to what you just said, but that's a beautiful question to ask, and we should ask ourselves that question. That was just my interpretation of the person I look at as being one of the greatest psychologists in our community for a long time, Dr. Naeem Akbar. Anyone else who have a question, a hand raised, if you want to ask a particular question about what we're talking about tonight, the subject is financial empowerment. What does it consist of? And Amina was correct about the mental state that we find ourselves in, but we can't think for ourselves. Education, ladies and gentlemen, education, ladies and gentlemen, education. Education of what? Where's the blueprint for education? It's in you. It's in us. We came here fully prepared. Everything in us. Until they began to destroy our human disposition. They began to give us the wrong types of foods and the wrong types of knowledge, which caused our parents not to produce the type of child that they're supposed to produce. Here we come with dyslexia, Alzheimer's, and all these different diseases that have come about. You destroyed the human capacity to think. Booker T. Washington said, and I'll say it again, we would never rise any higher as a nation until we create an environment where our children can think. And being that we are on the National Women's Month, I say this, when women lead, families succeed. What kind of woman, though? You have to be an educated woman. You have to be a God-fearing woman. You have to be a knowledgeable woman. You have to be a woman who knows herself, knows environmental issues and things, knowing how to participate in a relationship. knowing how to be that humble, beautiful person that they are. I mean, when I come home from work, I just experience this crazy stuff out in the field, and she say, "How you doing, baby?" My heart melts. I'm at home, no conflict. Oh, women are just beautiful. So we have some previous some conversations that will be coming up throughout the month, and I think AM360 has some beautiful programs that they have about women and promotion of women. This is in the Gregorian calendar, National Women's Month, but we know for a fact every single day is Women's Month history. If we can begin to teach our young ladies, our young children, instead of waiting on a month to come to talk about something, if we can inform and educate our children the importance of being a woman, the importance of being a human being, the importance of the character that has to be developed, you know, and not worrying about the environment that we live in, and make sure our children get the values that they need, but more importantly, the education and information that they need to have that good disposition, to have that wonderful attitude that's required to get us out of this arena. We got to get out of this. I said it earlier. If we don't change what's taking place starting now, in 25 years, we would not exist as an ethnic body. And I'm telling you this because guess what? The Europeans have already figured it out. They say by the time 2040 rolls around, there will be more minorities than them on the planet. And they went about 10, 15 years ago of eliminating any possibility that we can grow and develop into anything of worth all value. If we continue to wait where we're going, and all we have to do is look out here at our political arena, look out here at our environment, look out here at our culture identity, and you will see something. We're killing each other. We don't even like each other. We got women and men just having babies out of wedlock. You gotta have families. You gotta have families to change this. Until we can do that, we're gonna be in this situation. I'm telling you, you guys have to pay attention to me. They've already done the theory. And in 20 to 25 years, if we continue at this rate and our women don't produce 2.5 babies and live to the age of 15, we will not exist as an ethnic body. Now, this is science. This is not me talking. These people have already done the research on us. They already know where we're going. That's why they ain't bothering us. Leave them alone. Don't worry about it. Let them keep on getting abortions. Let them keep on shooting each other. Let them keep on doing drugs. Let them keep on going to jail. Let them keep on, you know, changing their lifestyle from male to female. Of female to male. Let them keep on doing that. Because guess what? At the rate they're going, they won't even exist. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to shut up. Just in case somebody have any questions, there's no hands raised right now. Let me say this real quick. Article in the Reader's Digest in 1964, where Russia, Nikita Khrushchev, made a statement about the United States of America. He said, "We would never have to drop a bomb on America. They would destroy themselves from within with drugs and homosexuality." I'm going to leave it like that. If you want to comment on it, feel free. If you have something you want to say, feel free. So as we close down this second hour, we want to, thank you for being with us. But we also want you to know that here on IWDM Radio, we have phenomenal programming. I don't just want to tell you about the programming. I need you to tell other people about the programming. Why? Because what we're talking about tonight on building community life, it requires several components. One of the components that it requires is we get educated, we get healthy, mentally and physically. The other one is that we understand family unit, family's function. The other one is getting married. IWDM Radio focuses in on several entities that I think we should be sharing with the world. We should be sharing this with every person, Muslim or non-Muslim, or not Muslim, shall I say. You don't have to be a Muslim. to get this wonderful, beautiful language that we share every single week here on IWDM Radio. So with that, I want you to, those of you who don't have any questions, I don't have any hands raised right now. So I'm going to bring Mark Shaheed on, our public service announcer for IWDM, and let him share with you the rest of this week what's taking place. Mark Shaheed, are you there? Mark Shaheed, are you there? It's like everybody deserves me tonight, ladies and gentlemen. But what we do have on Wednesday nights, we have Attorney Reconstruction Learning Live that comes on every single Wednesday here on IWDM Radio, along with the Muslim Global Roundtable. It starts at 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, and 4 p.m. Pacific Time. And Mark Shaheed is the host of both of those productions, especially the Muslim Global Roundtable. I think we have some guests on for Women's Month. On Thursday, we have Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, where we have program that's specifically designed to talk about the true love recipe, the things, the do's and the don'ts, and ifs, ands, and buts, and the information and knowledge we need to have good relationships and how to have a great relationship with your spouse in some shape, form, or fashion, or how to get started on courtship. That's on Thursday. On Fridays, we have Juma prayer for those of you who can't get out on Fridays to attend Juma prayer. We have here on IWDM, 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 o'clock Central. Imam Michael Sahir, who basically has Juma services here on IWDM Radio. On Saturday, we have the Muslim Book Club that they're reviewing the book of Clara Muhammad. And this is a program that's designed to create a book club where we can begin to talk about those in our history and our past who have written books and have this great discussion so we can learn a little bit more about our history. On Sunday, Words Make People. Michael Sahir is on every Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 p.m. Central, on Sunday afternoons on Words Make People. And Monday we have Imam Pasha, who's on at 6 o'clock on 5 o'clock on Monday on Islamic-based conversation that he has on Mondays at the time designated here on IWDM Radio. And we're right back to Tuesday. We're here every single Tuesday, and we ask that you bring someone with you next time and make it possible for someone else to get this knowledge that you're getting. Just make it possible. Someone else is getting the knowledge that you're getting. So with that, if we don't have any more questions, we look forward to hearing from you next week. If anyone needs to reach me in any shape, form, or fashion, 650-5.